is an excellent man of God. You're going to get blessed. He is the most refined preacher I know. I really try to pick the most studious and refined people to minister to you. I'm just messing with him. This is my best friend, and he is an awesome man of God and an excellent preacher. And he's going to preach. What an awesome message for service. You're going to get so blessed. We just thank God for him. Their family, they used to be here in this church. There were pastors in this church. He is pastoring a church in Michigan with his beautiful wife, who's my wife's best friend, and we are best friends. And so we're just totally blessed. And but hey, let's just give it up for the man of God, Mike Schepplein. Come on, can we?
Just want to say I'm honored to stand up here and minister, and a lot of your family, we've known you for some of you more than 25 years, you know, long, long time. But I want to just stop and recognize, I mean, obviously, Jesus is the incredible honored guest in the house. But next, the person, the couple that we honor the most is Pastor Daniel and Teresa. Come on, give them a hand. Come on. Because I'm a pastor, and so I get to blow in, blow up, and blow out. But Pastor Daniel's changing diapers, feeding, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I get it. I'm a pastor, so I totally get it. And I'm just, you know, I get to be the speckled egg, but he's the real deal. Amen. God, we thank you for your word today, and we came here because we're hungry for you. Lord, we are not settled, but we are hungry for you. We need your Holy Spirit in our lives. Lord, we need an understanding of your ways. And Lord, today we're here because we don't want to just learn. We want to know you. And we invite you, speak to our heart. Lord, adjust the way that we think in a very personal way so that we can see you in every area of our life. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to teach on something this morning. It's just one word, and it's a word, better. Everybody say better. Better. Have you ever had a bad donut before? You know what I'm saying? I won't throw out any donut names, but how many of you know there are better donuts than bad donuts? And you know, I think as when you throw up, and obviously in our relationship with the Lord, is how many of you before, and probably all of us, have had God just blow your mind with something that was far better than you ever imagined it was going to turn out. You know what I'm saying? It was like, okay, Lord, I had this ship going down, but you not only got it up, but Lord, you turned it into a cruise ship. How many of you know what I'm saying? Is in God just blew your mind. But I want to, you know, equally though, is there are times that we go through things, and one thing that stabilizes us in God is that his better is there whether we feel like it or not. See, there's times in our life that we can all look and shout and be all pumped up and excited about God's better. But one thing that stabilizes us, or should stabilize us, is that when we are going through things and something doesn't look like we want it to look or feel like it, what we've got to understand is one of Satan's goals is due to negative or adverse things that we go through is to dumb down how we see God personally in our lives. Where because, you know, when everything's going great, God, you're just, woo! Oh my gosh, it's incredible. And then over on the other side, when things are going, it just sucks. It just sucks. You know what I'm saying? And we just go into the tank, and we're just kind of there. Realize that one of Satan's goals in our life is that when negative things happen, one of his goals is we begin to dumb down how we see God's better. We dumb down how we see how good he really is. And the key word is is when we talk about dumbing down, it's a personal thing. We can come to church and Pastor Daniel preaches a powerful message and worship is incredible and we're just gnawing on the seat in front of us and we're just pumped up and all excited. You know what I'm saying? But then we drive into our driveway and we got to deal with a bummer or an adversity or a situation. And it's really easy to be super pumped and super excited right here. But then when we go to that spot where that thing is at, it's harder. How many of you know what I'm saying? And we begin, and what we do is we just look and it's like, well, it works for them, but you know, it doesn't really work for me. See, it's a personal thing in my life. See, all that God has for in our lives, what we have got to realize is it's directly connected to what's going on in my heart. What is going on right now in my heart? What's going on? I want you to turn. I think they'll put it up on the screen, but we're going to spend not all the time, but a lot of time in John chapter 5 this morning. John 5, and I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. If you were here when I preached before, I preached out of the Amplified Translation, and people told me that was the woman's version, and I said, I'm cool with that. You know what I'm saying? But a friend that's a missionary we support, he's a Greek scholar in Russia, Rick Renner, good news. And he sent me the New Living, and he said that it's the most accurate according to today's English. And so he's a Greek scholar, so I said, okay, I'll take that. And the only reason I'm saying that is as we read this, what you're going to notice is the New Living leaves out I think it's verse 3 and verse 4 is it leaves out. And the reason that it leaves it out is because the translators added that in, not that it's bad or anything like that, but they added it in based on history and tradition to give us context to see it. And we could leave it in, but it's not in the New Living, so I'd have to go to another translation and put it back in. So I'm just simply saying that. So if you think that I'm trying to pull a fast one, wait a minute, he didn't read those verses. Is he a cult? No. So here we go. John chapter 5, verse 1. It says, afterward, Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holy days. Inside the city, near the sheep gate, was the pool of Bethesda. If you write in your Bible, if you don't, you should, but underline that right there. If you've got a paper Bible or can't do it electronically, we're going to come back to that word. And it says that at this pool of Bethesda, it had 5 covered porches, crowds of sick people. They say that there was hundreds, 400 to 600 people that were around this area. It says that they were blind, lame, paralyzed. They all lay on these porches. Verse 5, one of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him and knew he had been ill for a long time, he asked him, would you like to get well? The Amplified says it like this, are you really in earnest about getting well? That's what the Amplified said. Verse 7, this is the guy's response. I can't, sir, the sick man said, for I have no one to put me into the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone else always gets there ahead of me. Now, what happened is there was a tradition and a history that once a year an angel would come down and trouble this pool and bubbles would come up. And once a year, the first person that would get into the pool would be healed. And so this guy is here and he obviously believes in God. He obviously believes in healing, but his view is everybody else is getting ahead of me and I never make it in. And it says that he's 38 years old, so we could readily say he has probably been here for a long time. He has been watching this for a long time. I don't know about you, but once a year is not very good odds for one person. How many of you know what I mean? Once a year. So what verse was I on? Was I on verse 7? No, verse 7. I can't, sir, the sick man said, for I have no one to put me into the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone else always gets there ahead of me. Verse 8. Jesus told him, stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. Instantly the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking, but this miracle happened on the Sabbath. What I want you to notice is that everything started at this place called the pool of Bethesda. If you look up this word Bethesda, what it means in the Greek is it means the house of favor, kindness, and goodness. And when we look at the word house, what we usually do is we think of a structure. We think of a building. Oh, yeah, they're at 2439 Pelican Way. That's their house. That's their house. But in the New Testament, when they spoke of their house, is they were not speaking of a structure. They were speaking of a family. You remember they referred, oh, you're from the house of David. Oh, you're from the house of Abraham. Oh, you're from the house of Jacob. And so what it is what God is saying. What he's saying here is Bethesda is the family of favor, the family of kindness, the family of goodness. What I want you to realize is this, is every single one of us that have given Jesus our life and our heart, we have been adopted by God and we are now in Bethesda. We are in the family of favor. We are in the family of kindness. We are in the family of goodness. And it doesn't matter what's happened in your life. You have been adopted by God. They tell me legally, and someone came in, I knew this, but somebody came in the first service. Do you know that an adopted child has more rights than a born child, blood-born child? You cannot disassociate an inheritance from an adopted child, but you can from a born child. When you think about an adopted child is the parents get to look at the pictures and pick the kid. When the kid is born in your house, you don't get to see nothing and you can't send them back. Nothing. You know what I'm saying. Don't look at anybody. Just look straight ahead. What it is, is we have been adopted by God. We've been adopted and we are favored by Him regardless of what our circumstances are saying. The biggest thing we struggle with is we believe we're favored by God when everything's going right. But the greatest time we need to know we're favored by God is when things are going wrong. That's when we really need to sense that we're favored by God. Look at what it says in Job chapter 5. For some people, Job chapter 5. Job chapter 5, verse 6 through verse 9. It says, "For affliction comes not forth from the dust, neither does trouble spring out of the ground." Now look at verse 7. "But man is born to trouble as the sparks and the flames fly upward." What I want you to notice is he said that part of the human experience is going through adversity, trouble, and difficulty. Just as real as you're sitting in front of a fire down on the beach and the sparks are flying up, God is saying, "I am faithful. You are human." And part of the human experience is realize you're going to go through things that are difficult. You're going to face things that are hard. But when you double down in me, you can overcome because you're favored by me. I'm over your life. Look at what he said. He said that we're born into trouble as sparks fly upward. But look at verse 8. "As for me," he said, "I would seek God and inquire and require of him. And to God would I commit my cause." Notice the context is trouble. Now what does God do? "Who does great things and unsearchable," thank you baby, "marvelous things without number." That's what God does. I mean, Paul said it like this. If anybody was in God's best, it was the Apostle Paul. He lists his resume and he said, "You know, 3 times I got beaten within one lash of my life." Man, that is an affliction. That is a bummer. I mean, you know, someone bumps our car and we're praying for the rapture. How many of you know what I mean? What I want you look at him, shipwrecked, snake beat, I mean stoned, all of this stuff. And this is what he said about himself. He said, "These light afflictions." Let me tell you something. God wants to take our problems and our adversity and so affect our heart that we look at them as something light and not something big because we're aware of the bigness of God. We're aware of who he is. See, if we've made Jesus the Lord of our life, we're in his family. We're under his favor. We're under his kindness and his goodness. Jesus said this in John 16, 33. He said, "In this world," how many of us live down here? Good, 8 of us. That's awesome. I said, "How many of us live down here?" He said, "In this world, you're going to have trials, tribulation, distress, and persecution." Now, I don't like that. I don't want. I want the Ronco Bible. Cut that baby out. How many of you know what I'm saying? I don't like that. I don't. But what we've got to realize is I don't like it. But that verse is just as true as John 3:16. It is just as true. It's just as true. You know, it says in Ecclesiastes, it says, for everything there is a season and a time for every activity under heaven. And then the whole third chapter lists about all these seasons of the human experience. He said, there's a time to be born. That's when we're celebrating. There's a time to die. That's mourning. He said, there's a time to gather. There's a time to cast away. There's a time to laugh. There's a time to cry. And what we have got to realize is that God is saying to us, he's saying, I am better no matter what season you're in. I am better no matter what you're facing. Look at what it says in Psalms 23. Do you know that Psalms 23 was written on the worst day of David's life? A lot of people think Psalms 23 is David was laying in a hammock and his wife was fanning him, feeding him cherries, and he was sipping tea. You know what I'm saying? It was the worst day of David's life. If you study, you find out that Psalm 23 was written when Absalom was chasing him and he was fleeing muleback and Absalom was trying to kill him. And he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall. That came out of his heart. He's in adversity. But look at what it says in verse 6. He said, surely, not like Shirley, the lady Shirley, but surely. How many of you know what I'm saying? Do we have any Shirleys here? Any Shirleys in the house tonight? Okay, good. He's talking to us. Surely, like S-U-R-E-L-Y, surely or absolutely or for sure positive, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house. Remember, house is family. I will dwell in his family all the days of my life. I used to know this lady, and when she was going through stuff, she'd say, come on, goodness, come on, mercy, and she'd go walking down the street. Did I give you any points yet?
Yes.
I did? Well, number one, I got seven. Okay, I'm going to go fast. Okay, number one is this, is I'm favored by God regardless of what my situation looks or feels like. I am favored by God. I am favored. Say it with me right now out loud. Just say this. I'm favored by God. I can overcome because I have the Holy Spirit living in me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. See, what it is this can't be up for discussion. It has to be settled in my heart. Where it is settled. It just, I mean, if you stop and you think about Paul and Peter and James and John and all of these guys that we would look at it as heroes of faith. See, what it is we can't let our circumstances define if we're favored or not. We can't look and say, well, God, you know, when everything was going great, God was with me. But now, you know, we have to stop and we have to just settle in our heart and in our spirit that, you know what, I am favored by God. Look at verse 6. Verse 6 says, and back to the John context, it says, when Jesus saw him and knew he had been ill for a long time. Let me tell you something. Jesus knows. Some people think and they act like, God, you don't know what's going on in my life. Lord, you don't know what I'm facing. Lord, if you knew what I'm facing, I wouldn't be going through this. Lord, this just isn't really right. Lord, I'm dealing with this. I want to tell you something. This answers that question. This guy was there for 38 years, and it says that Jesus saw him and knew he had been ill for a long time. He knew what was going on. And, you know, you stop, and this is number two. Is Satan wants us conditioned to live with it by looking and blaming other people. Where we just, let me tell you something. If we're blaming other people for where we're at, we've conditioned ourselves to live with it. Because we are looking and blaming the wrong person. How many of you have ever been around somebody? It's like, well, I'm here because of them. No, you're here because you made up your mind that whatever they did was going to have more authority over your life than what God says. You just yielded lordship to them. You just said, Lord, you know, yeah, I'm just gonna yield it to them. And at verse 7 says, it says this, it says, someone else, this is what the guy said, someone else always gets there ahead of me. Quit looking at other people to define the favor of God on your life. Well, Lord, they got a new car. Look at this beater. I'm driving around just a piece of junk. God says, why don't you celebrate with them? I'm big enough to take care of you too. Well, you just don't understand what I'm going. You know what? Realize this, is Satan wants to condition us to live in it by just simply blaming others for where we're at. Well, you know, it's them, it's that. How many of you know what I'm saying? Okay, look, let me just be clear. I'm not talking about us. It's people we know. How many of you know what I'm saying? Just relax. You can just feel it. People start tensing up. Oh, my gosh. Don't touch me. Don't touch me. It isn't us. It's people we know. How many of you know what I'm saying? And we just got, and what it is, you know, well, if this person wouldn't have done this to me, well, if this person wouldn't have done that to me, you know, I wouldn't be here. What I love is, look at what it says, is Jesus knew how long he'd been there. And sometimes in our life, you know, I was in Brazil, I think, Daniel, with you. And probably lots of years ago. Was it with James? That was 2005. Thank you. It's 2005, and I was preaching in a service, and somebody jumped up, and they were healed of blindness right in the middle of the service. Somebody that was like 60 years old, and they're screaming in Portuguese, and I don't know what they're saying. I just think, wow, I don't know what's going on over there, but they need an usher. How many of you know? And she's just screaming in there, and I'm like, and my interpreter says, I said, what's going on over there? He said, that lady just got totally healed of blindness, and she's been blind her whole life. Oh, my gosh, if I knew Portuguese, I'd start screaming too. But let me tell you something. I'm ministering, and I'm up on the stage. And for many of you that don't know me real well, is when I was 5 years old, I got scissors in my left eye. And they went all the way through my left eye. And I went through as a little kid all kinds of surgeries and everything like that. And they said, oh, you'll never see it. You'll never be able to see out of that eye. And you say, is it healed now? No, not totally healed. But every time I go back to the doctor says this to me. We don't get it. So what don't you get? It ain't supposed to work. So what do you mean it ain't supposed to work? Every time we look at you, it keeps getting better and better and better. Now see, I could look and say, Lord, I was preaching and that girl, I don't know what that lady said. She don't even know English and you healed her. And Lord, I'm preaching. Why can't you do that for me? We could be all in this funk of looking at everybody else and look at them. And, oh my gosh, I'm more righteous than them. Bless the Lord. Oh my gosh. I am the one that is all the time right up there at the altar praying for everybody that comes back. And I know they're out in the parking lot smoking dope. And Lord, you healed them right out there in the parking lot. That just isn't right. Lord, it just don't seem right. Quit looking at everybody else and start saying, God, you're with me. Your favor is on me. And it doesn't matter. I might not be where I want to be, but I thank God I'm not where I used to be. You know, my wife, and she says sometimes, and she says, honey, sometimes you're harsh. She says that. And I'm like, I'm not harsh. Sometimes when you're preaching, you point too much. And I'm like, okay. But she'll say that. She'll say, sometimes, honey, you come on. And I'm like, well, I don't want to be harsh. And she'll be like, well, pray for me. And then how many of y'all know we all got our bends? We all got our bends. I mean, I got my bends. And I'll say, well, is it getting better? And she'll say, yeah, you're getting better. Thank God, I'm moving on the right track. One of the biggest things is, am I so conditioned to living with my problem, my ache, or my pain that I have redefined my theology to embrace it? And then I'm not saying we're not going to heaven, because we are. But I'm telling you, we've just redefined what we tolerate, we can't change. And we just say, hey, you know, just the way, you know, I could sit here and say, well, my harshness, I'm just a German. That's just the way Germans are. We're all just harsh. Just a harsh German. Just say, I'm a German. No, you're a jerk. You know, well, you know, the Lord just made me like this. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. Okay, we'll keep going. What I want you to notice is this, is that he believed it was God's will, this guy, to heal him. He believed it. And I love that about it because he said, but what I want you to notice is this, is he also had it figured out as to how God was going to do it. He was hanging out at the water for 38 years because he believed God could do it. But what it is God, you're going to do it this way. Let me tell you, God is not going to do it the way you think he should do it. And some of us, we got this, Lord, I want you to make it better. Lord, I want you to fix my husband. Lord, I want you to take care of my kids. Lord, I want you to do my wife. Lord, I want you to promote this. Lord, I want you to do this. But Lord, let me tell you how you need to do it. Lord, this is what you need to do. See, this is what this guy was doing. This guy was going to, God, I believe you can do it, but you're going to do it this way. I personally think that God needs to take a lot more of my advice. How many of you know what I'm saying? How many of you have found that if God would just take some of your advice, life would be a whole lot less sweat, a whole lot less difficulty in life? I would praise him a lot more if he would just take my advice. How many of you know what I'm saying? It's like I got my thumb in my mouth and God is like, get it out. No, you should do it like this. And God is like, okay. You know, number three is this. I got to move. Number three is this. Is he made up his mind as to how it would take place. See, when we're believing God for God's better, we cannot make up our mind as to how he's going to do it. We cannot be, have mail. I just need money. And so every day I'm running to the mailbox. Someone sent me a mail. Someone's going to send me $1 million in the mailbox. Or I just need money. And so to me, breakthrough is another credit card. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. That's called bondage. That's what that is. And what it is he had made up his mind. See, this is the struggle for us as Americans. Because Americans, we are so used to choices. We got the choice. How many of y'all know? Look, if this restaurant does not get my food out at a certain time, I am not coming back. I'm not coming back. If you tell me that you're going to get it to my table by a certain time and you don't get it to my table, I'm moving down the road and finding somebody else. There's just one problem. There is only one God, and we're going to do it his way. I just think it's hilarious. This is a personal story. We pastored in Temecula for 7 years, and then we were back here for a couple, and I'm serving and helping Daniel any way we could before we were there. Kim Clement, how many of you know Kim Clement? Kim Clement came through our church in Temecula, and he prophesied. And he said, God is going to give you favor in the east. So in Temecula, we walk out our door, and it's like, okay, I think it was Hemet. It's like, it's going to be Hemet. It's going to be this. It's going to... It was Michigan. I'm like... See, our brain says, this is where it's going to be. I could just picture Jesus up there laughing. Oh, my gosh. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know what I'm saying? And what it was is I had a belief of God, this is how you were going to do it. But I had to be pliable and say, Lord, I don't care how you do it. I just know you're going to do it. I don't. And what it is what we've got to realize. Because of that belief, what happens if we don't watch it, we disbelieve that anything is going to change. Because we've got this belief as to the way it's going to go. See, faith is God, you're good. I believe what you say. And you help me every single day to grow in you. every single day. That's what faith is. Faith isn't, God, you're good. You're going to do it this way and wake me up on the couch when it's done. That is not the way that it works. See, he was focused on other people and what they said and what they did to determine if he, if he was helped. And, you know, we've got to realize is we cannot get caught up and it's other people's fault. Well, I've got this grievance. Well, you know, I've been through this. Well, I've been through that. Blaming somebody else is we just need to stop blaming and start believing. God, I'm just going to start blaming and start believing. Well, my kids, well, my lot, well, my weaknesses, well, my thing. You know what? Well, 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 get up and move forward. Just get up and move forward. Number four is this. When we see nothing, Jesus is coming, speaking, and leading. This guy was sitting there. Could you imagine him sitting there? Somebody else is piled over the top, their armpit in his face, and he's all, you know, like, oh, I just got these bums around me every single day. Jesus is already coming. He's already speaking, and he's already moving, and he didn't even know it. He didn't even know it. And what I love is Jesus asked him something. He said, do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? The Amplified says it like this. Are you in earnest about getting well? Are you really serious? See, I believe in our areas of need. Jesus is asking us, are you in earnest? Are you willing to do something? Are you willing to take a step? Are you willing to see what it is if we don't watch it, is that we're not really in earnest. We want it, but we're not really in earnest. And it's, and what I have found is this, is when we're in earnest, we're willing to do whatever the Lord leads us to do. And this is what I have found in my own personal life, is usually the Lord leads us to do the opposite of what our flesh feels like doing, to crucify it and say, you're going to obey the Lord. It's usually the opposite. And we're just like, you know, someone says, oh, I'm going to pray about that. You mean it's too difficult, so you don't want to do it. That's what you're saying. It's usually not too difficult. It's just we don't feel like it. We don't want to. I remember, and this was years ago, and probably 25 years ago, and some people here remember, is we had two dogs, and we lived over on Moore Street in South Oceanside. And we had two dogs, there was a cul-de-sac, and there's only like six neighbors that lived in this cul-de-sac, and all of them loved our two dogs. And so what they would do is they would buy these doggy treats for our dogs and feed our dogs, and our dogs learned how to open the gate and get out to go get all these snacks at all these people's house. Well, there was just one problem. This new neighbor moved in, and they were from the devil. How many of you know what I mean? You know there's a leash law in California. Like, yeah, there is, but none of the neighbors want my dog on a leash. Well, that's tough. You need to put that dog on a leash. And I'm like, okay, you know what I'm saying? The dog's trained. So they called the dog pound on my dog, and they hauled my dog away to the dog pound. It spread to the neighbors. You know the term terrorist? I'm not kidding. They wanted to kill him. They were just like, oh my gosh, and they're conniving on how they're going to get even with these new neighbors. And my wife comes up with this idea. My wife is so sweet. She comes up and she says, oh, honey, I'm going to bake them cookies. I'm like, cookies? I don't get cookies. Well, I get cookies, just not enough cookies. How many of you know what I'm saying? And she says, I'm going to bake them cookies. And my brain says, what are you going to put in those cookies? What are you going to put in them? And so she bakes some cookies. And I couldn't be there for the delivery. How many of you know what I'm saying? I was just like, baby, I'll pray. You go deliver. You just go deliver. And she goes up to the door and knocks at the door. And the lady opens the door. And she says, we just want to give you some cookies. And the lady begins to cry. She says, my husband is such a jerk. But it was just like, see, my flesh. How many of y'all know these people are renting this house? We're all owners. And they're coming into our neighborhood, run them out. How many open if you got flesh like that. Four of you are honest. That's awesome. I really appreciate it. Really encouraging my heart today. But what it is, and the thing is, am I really in earnest? Lord, okay, I'm going to do what you asked me to do. Number five is this. As Jesus said, stand up, pick up, and walk. The first word, stand up, number five, is this is an inside posture. Satan's goal is to knock us down and then for us to see life through that knockdown. We need to stand up on the inside. When we've been knocked down, we need to get back up. God is not counting how many times you've been knocked down. He's counting how many times you'll get back up. And what we've got to do is we've got to get up on the inside. Well, it hurts. Get up. Well, you know, I don't feel like it. Get up. Well, and what it is it's an inside thing. Where am I at? On the inside. I got cold cocked 6 months ago, and I've been laying on the floor nursing it. And the Lord is saying, what I want you to do is I want you, it's an inside posture. I need you to stand up. I need you to realize that I'm with you. I need you to know that I'm for you. See, what it is we must, on the inside, start feeding ourselves with what God says in and over our life. Every time we get knocked down, what needs to come out is like David, surely his goodness and mercy are following me all the days of my life. Okay, it wasn't fair. Okay, it wasn't just. Okay, I don't like what just happened. You know what, God? I thought you were protecting me. You know what? I know you are protecting me. And this too will pass as the sparks fly upward. So it is born to man to go through adversity. And God, I am going to be an all-season Christian. I'm not just going to be a Christian that believes you when things are good. I'm going to believe you when things are bad, because what I know is you're a God of resurrection power, and resurrection power only occurs when something dies. Lord, I feel like I'm dying. God said, get ready, because I've got resurrection power. Daniel, you told me to be calm up here. See, what it is there's a fire on the inside. And I get this because I feel it too. You know, when we get, man, you love somebody and they do you wrong, or get hurt and go through circumstances, we just want to get a latte and 25 pieces of pumpkin bread. How many of you know what I'm saying? The Lord says, get up. I'm saying, Lord, I just need one more latte and 10 more pieces of pumpkin bread. And the Lord's like, no, what you need is the bread of life. You need my word to adjust your heart and what you're believing. See, I don't think that because I'm up here, I haven't been there. I've been there. You know what I'm saying? How many of you ever argue with the Lord? You know what I'm saying? Argue. Lord, if you would have just done this, this wouldn't have happened. Do you need some help? Number six is this. He said, stand up. And the next word is, he said, pick up. Pick up. Pick up is where I've been isn't okay anymore. It's not okay anymore. God, I believe in you're better, but I've been sitting down in a spot I don't need to be sitting down, and it ain't okay anymore. As long as it's okay, I'll stay there. I will stay there. And it's where it's, Lord, I'm going to stop waiting for you to change someone or something else. I'm getting up, and it's not okay to stay there anymore. I'm just not on the inside. It's not okay. It's not okay. And I just feel stirred in my heart in this. As sometimes in our lives, when we've been beat up or knocked around and been there for a long time, is we make a lot of friends that make us feel comfortable staying there. They just make us feel comfortable. I know. I've been there too. Let's all stay here. Pass me a piece of pumpkin bread. God, it's like, I'm at my last point, number seven. Number seven is walk or take a step in what I can do. Yeah. What can I do? Yeah. I got to do, what can I do? Yeah. How about think some new thoughts that agree with God's word that lift your spirit? Just think some, what are you planning for? When you close your eyes and you think about tomorrow, 6 months, a year, 5 years? Does it lift your spirit, encourage your heart? Or does it just kind of, See, we got to think some new thoughts. You know, I'm 54 and I'm excited about getting older. Say, why? Because all the kids are gone. No, I'm kidding. I run around in my underwear. No, I'm kidding. Okay, let's just stay focused. Some of us, we're sitting here right now. And man, when's the last time you had a new thought that agreed with what God says? God says, I'm doing a new thing. You're a new creation. Sing me a new song. What new? Is there anything new going on in here? Or am I just so full of the old that somebody touches it and it's like, how many of you know what I mean? God is like, Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18 and 19. You remember Jesus, we were earlier in John, Jesus said, are you in earnest about getting well? But here it says this, and it says, do not earnestly remember the former things. Neither consider the things of old. He's obviously talking about setbacks, discouragements, those things. Now look at what he said. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Okay, when are you going to do it, Lord? Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it and know it? And will you not give heed to it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Man, I like that. 18, he said, what are you remembering? What's so big on your brain? What's motivating your faith and your heart and your future and what you're expecting? What's motivating it? He said, is it the things that are discouraging? Or are you earnestly remembering that I am a faithful God, that you are adopted into my family, and there is favor, there is goodness, and there is kindness? See, God said, I'm going to make a way, make rivers in the desert. I want to just, three small things, and that's first thing, I think they'll put it up. Who or what am I identifying with about my future? Who or what am I identifying with about my future right now? Is it God? The next is, what am I saying over my life? What am I speaking over my life? Am I speaking better and better and better? Or am I speaking grievance and bummer and all that kind of stuff? And the next thing is this, is pick your homies well. Pick them well, because they're going to affect you, man. You know, Jesus, do you remember when Jairus came and asked Jesus to heal his daughter? And then the woman with the issue of blood just stalled the whole crowd and the daughter died. You remember that? Remember that? And so then when Jesus is coming up to the house, Jairus's house, they said, don't bother him anymore. She's already gone. You know, he can go home. And Jesus turns to Jairus and he said, you just keep on believing. You just keep on. And the Bible says that back in those days, you could hire mourners. You could hire, how much money you got? Okay, we got 50 criers, 50 mourners that'll help you get depressed and discouraged. And they'd hire them. And so they got these mourners out there just mourning. And Jesus comes up to the house and says, she's not dead. She's just sleeping. And the Bible says they begin to laugh and scorn. 1 minute they're crying, and then when there's a solution, they're laughing at the solution. And then what I love about this is it says this, Jesus put them all out of the house. Get out. We picture Jesus, come with me. No. He was a SoCal boy. Get your butt out of this house. He was like, You know, you ain't here. And what I love about it is then he spoke to her and he said, get up. But what did he do? He dealt with the crowd that was around her before he did the miracle. And sometimes in our lives, we're saying, God, I'm believing you better. But man, I'm listening to some people that are just bummer people. They're just like, you know, they're just like, you know, and you're just like, oh my gosh, it's a bad dream. and we just got to look at what it says in Psalms 37, verse 23. Last scripture. It says, the steps of a good man are directed and established by the Lord. Now look at this. When they delight in his way and they busy himself with every step. Say, what should I be doing? How about being upbeat? How about just busying myself with what I know to do and just saying, God, I'm going to trust you with what I don't know, but this is what I do know. And then look at what he said. He said, the steps of a good man. We American believers don't like steps. We like rapture. How many of you know what I'm saying? Lord, I'm not into that. That's moving too. See, steps are slow. Steps are like this. God says, I'm ordering your steps. Lord, I'm a charismatic believer. I don't like steps. I like leaps. How many of you know what I'm saying? And the Lord is saying, no, I'm going to order your steps. And what I want you to do is I want you to busy yourself with a good attitude and delight in where you're at because you believe in my better over your life. Are you with me today? Are you with me? See, right now, God is breathing on every one of our steps. I think all of us, you know, if you're not in this spot right now in your life, you will be before the end of the year. I mean, we just read the verse. Jesus said it. Where I'm get discouraged or get disillusioned or have a setback or somebody speaks a bunch of junk or somebody does this or does that and the enemy's counting on it to put us into a tailspin and see if we can cycle there for a period of time. But God is saying, no, I want to show you that first of all, that's part of living down here, but I want to teach you how to be an all-weather Christian. That you see and you believe in my better. And right now, God is breathing on a step, but I've got to feed myself on where I want to go. See, it's Jesus partnering with me. That's what it is. He's partnering. Just a quick story and I'll close. I have four kids. Oldest is 28 and youngest is 22. And I just wish they had a lot of the gadgets when we had kids that they have now. I mean, those retractable leashes. How many of you know what I'm saying? And the kid's like, woo, woo, woo. You know what I'm saying? And then they got strong enough. I don't know, like a winch. You know what I'm saying? Kid's butt's dragging on the ground. I've seen some people and they're like, they got those. I seen a lady one time with two of them. This one lady was doing one and she kind of braced herself. And he was going that way and she hit the button and the kid, one time some lady I saw her in a store and she had two kids, twins, with them and they were in both directions. I was like, man, that is so cool. And they're screaming, let me go! And let me just tell you something. What those things do is they control and they wear out the kid because the kid doesn't want to go in the direction the parent wants. See, sometimes in our life, we're wearing ourselves out, stressed out, going in this direction. God, this is the way you're going to do it. We're going in this direction. Lord's like, doosh. You know what I mean? We're just like, and the Lord is like, you know, you don't need to fix it. You just need to stay close to me. And I'll tell you what to do, and I'll fix it. I'm convinced that a lot of times in our lives, when you talk about the Lord leading our life, my own personal observation, is a lot of times people think that the Lord comes and he like, let's have a latte, piece of pumpkin bread. And let me share what I would like you to do in that difficult spot right over there. And we're like, yes, Lord, that is so much on my heart. Let's go. Usually, it's the Lord gets us in a headlock. And we're like, what's wrong, Lord? And he's like, I've been trying to get you to go in a direction. And this is the fifth time. And you've told me you want to follow, but you're not following. So come with me. My. And I'm going to. My little lamb. And he pulls us in close. Because let me tell you something. When we're close, life looks different. When we're not close, life looks hard. And every little thing discourages us. And the reason is it's not the problem. It's the proximity of Jesus in our life. And when, you know, when he's like right there, it's like, we can do it. But when the problem knocks me off track and it's like, Lord, hit that leash any minute. Come on. It's like, he sucks us back in close. Stand to your feet. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I want to just ask you a question, personal question. You're here today and you're in it. You're in it. I want us to just be totally honest with the Lord. I'm in it, Lord. I'm in it. And the Lord right now is wanting to show you, reveal to you, and help you. But he's wanting you to say, yes, Lord, I need you. I need you. I want to pray with you right where you're at. Just every head bowed, every eye closed. You say, right now, I'm in it. I know I'm in it. And I love the Lord, but man, I've been in this thing like maybe like this guy, 38 years. I've been trying to figure it out and force it and do it my way. I begin to question the Lord personally in my heart. I know he's big. I know he can do it. But man, because of the, you know, I'm just like, God, why don't you just, you know, you could have, and God is saying, peace, be still. And I want you to trust in my better when you don't see it or feel like it in your life. I want to pray for you right now. You say, that's me. I know it's me. I want to pray for you right where you're at. Count of three, lift your hand to the Lord. One, two, three. Lift it up. Just lift it up. There you go. All over the room. All over the room. Jesus, you see our hands. We've made you the Lord of our life. We've asked you to be first. But Lord, we've got this thing called our will. And it just wants to steer the ship all the time, control our emotions, control our attitude, control everything. And Lord, what we realize is you're calling us right now to say, Lord, it's no longer about my will, it's about your will. That you've got everything under control, better than we could ever imagine. But the key thing that we must cultivate and bring to the table is a faith that affects our attitude. It affects our outlook. It affects our expectation. It affects the words that we're speaking out of our mouth. And Lord, we all know that we struggle here. And so we cry out to you. And Lord, we ask you to help us. God, help us. Lord, I lift up every person and I thank you for them. I come against every attack of the devil and I declare it will come to nothing because we are the people of God, the children of God, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. And it is the Word of God that has determined our thinking, and we declare over our life, we declare favor, blessing, goodness, and kindness over your people, Lord. Lord, we thank you. Jesus' name. Go ahead and put your hands down. One more invitation, and that's this. You're here today, and you've never given your heart to Christ. Man, I remember I was a college student. Didn't know the Lord. Started looking around at my homies, thinking, oh my gosh, He said, what happened? My mom was praying for me. Let me tell you, if your mom is praying for you, just give up. Just give up. You know, it's really what it is. It's how much asphalt would you like to eat before you make that choice? My mom was praying for me. And I remember coming to a spot. I smoked pot. Smoked pot, I think, probably every day. And I thought, if I could just quit smoking pot, I could be a good Christian. I love you, Jesus, but I couldn't quit. So I came to the point, because my theology said this. Before Jesus was going to come into my life, I needed to fix these areas. Oh my God, I couldn't fix nothing. And I came to the point after being so frustrated that I just said, Lord, woo, I give you my heart, I give you my life, and if you can do anything with me, I invite you. Do you know that that was the last time I ever smoked pot? And it wasn't because of me. It wasn't. As the Lord changed me on the inside. See, what we're doing many times is we're trying to be a Christian rather than inviting Christ in our lives. The Christian life is an impossible life to live by yourself. Nothing in you wants to turn the other cheek. Nothing in you. Now, how many of you know what I mean? Nothing in you wants to say, not my will. But what Christianity is it's for those that recognize that, you know what? I am really sick and tired of the dirt road that I've been on. And Lord, you gave your life for me to have a personal relationship with you. And Jesus, I need you. I need you more than I've ever needed you. I need you. You know, we are in worship up here this morning. And I said to the Lord, Lord, I need you more than I've ever needed you before. Just because you need the Lord and you gave your life to him, let me tell you that I've become freshly aware of this, is that I need him more now than I did back then in my mind. I need him. You're here today and you've never given your heart to the Lord and said, Lord, I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins. Come in and be my Lord and Savior. Maybe you have, but you're not where you should be, and you need to rededicate your life to the Lord. I want to pray with you right where you're at. Everyone, close your eyes, bow your head. In a moment, I'm going to ask you, you say, that's me, to lift your hand to Jesus. That's what you're doing. You're saying, Lord, in lifting my hand, I'm saying, come into my life. You're here today and you've never given your heart to the Lord, or you're here and today you're saying, I'm rededicating my life to the Lord. On the count of three, I want you to shoot your hand up. One, two, three. Lift it up. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God is reaching out to you right now. He loves you. He cares about you. But understand, Christianity, thank you, only works. Thank you. It only works when it is 100% proposition. See, Jesus gave 100% of his life for 100% of your junk. He gave 100%. He didn't give his life for 50% of my junk, for 100% of my junk. And the only way that it works is when I say, Lord, I give you 100% of my life. I want to lead us all, thank you. I want to lead us all in this prayer. Say this with me. Jesus, you're incredible. You're awesome. You went all the way because you love me. I need you. I'm asking you. Forgive me. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Anything you want to do, do it. From this day forward, you are my Lord. You are my Savior. And there is no turning back. In Jesus' name. Amen. Give God a shout. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you If you gave your heart to the Lord today and you said, that was me, I lifted my hand, maybe you even didn't lift your hand, but you prayed and you meant it. I want to encourage you that as at the end of the service, come on up. I know there'll be some people up here. We want to help you in that decision. You just made the most life-changing decision in your life. It affects everything. It affects more than anything. And we want to help you in that. God bless you. Thanks for coming.